Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 25th, 2020. New Life 1176. How to Rise Above Death.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Leitman. Hello, Dr. Leitman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yaelle Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk a bit about death, awareness of death, suppression of death. After all, death is a part of life. Be with us, Yael, please. I'd like to open with a study done by Dr. Yair Zeidelman and his team that were able to show, he's a brain researcher, that we're able to prove that we really have a basic mechanism that prevents people from seeing that one day they'll die. And they see it very clearly on others, meaning that death is unrelated to me, but that it's related to other people, that once there's something that might remind me about death, immediately this mechanism starts working that chases away this thought, but it does know how to attribute this thought to other people. And I want to ask, what do you think about the results of this study? How do you, as a Kabbalist, see this? Dr. Leitman, because we're made up of the will to receive pleasure, then the basic force of that desire is to reject and push away anything that's unpleasant and draw closer anything that is pleasant. And therefore, it's natural that that's what a person will do. And our entire nature, which is the desire to receive, pleasure, really objects thinking about death as something that's related to myself. If it's related to others, then here my ego is willing to think about it and really no problem. I don't mind. Yeah, so there's a separation between myself and others. I look at myself differently than I look at others. And there's also this built-in fear to look at death itself. There's a kind of a protective system. We see that we live in a country that's full of threats, existential threats. And things might happen in which people will die. And probably there's some kind of mechanism in us that manages our attitude towards death. So, exactly, on the one hand, each of us feels fear of death, and we reject it, and that comes precisely from that protective force that wants to think about the pleasant things and resist thinking about the unpleasant things, because that's how our will to receive manages us. And also, within the nation of Israel, there's this kind of collective mechanism, because we went through a very long and hard history, and throughout history, we've arranged for ourselves an attitude toward life and death and suffering and success in such a way that we had to see pleasant things in a defined way. We used to increase them. Whereas things that give us sorrow and suffering and problems and illnesses, these are things that we decrease, and this really helped us survive throughout our history too. And even though that it does not rid us of our problems, but still it helps us not to plunge into depression and panic all the time, and different states of fear and national anxiety, especially a national one. And therefore, we see that it's so much so that we look at ourselves And we ourselves don't understand, where do we have this ability from to see the things that are threatening us, that are really against us, that are coming to slaughter us, and still, till the very last moment, we're not really that worried and we don't rise up against them. It's a problem. On the other hand, we have to say that it helps us survive and continue. Yeah, there's a feeling that the fear of death is kind of hidden from a person. It's a kind of a built-in thing. That is how it is in nature. Why? Why is this hidden from us, the entire matter of death? Dr. Lightman, in order for us to keep on living. Otherwise, why keep on living if everything disappears and is lost? What do I have? School, university, hard work, that every day I have to fight for my own existence. I have to survive in life, and this, and that, and see how many changes we made in life, and how many things we throw away, and accept new ones, and deal with different problems and troubles. What for? If it would all have been clear that everything comes to an end and nothing's left, and we see that nothing's left, then what's the use? And therefore, it's hidden from us. Yet, along with the fear of death, many people derive pleasure from living on the edge. They jump bungee, race cars. People in the south of Israel even climb hills in order to see the missiles fall. There's a kind of pleasure from living on the edge. Dr. Lightman. Possibly. But the main thing is that it's because people like feeling the boundaries, the limit, the end, the something. And this actually gives them the feeling of life. That they're sure that this won't happen to me, on the one hand. On the other hand, I'm really in borderline situations in life, and this is what compels me. In death, there's lots of vital force, because this already comes from a higher root, that there's no death. But it's all a matter of incarnations, of the changing of the form of our existence. Yael, can you explain a bit, Dr. Layton? Better not. Yael, okay. So, there's another opinion that I'd like to ask you about that says that anxiety of death helps us experience something which is beyond the superficial corporeality of life, but awakens something that he calls here supernatural. That actually anxiety of death awakens in us something that is beyond our ordinary corporeality. Dr. Lightman, it only seems to us that it's beyond the ordinary corporeality, but we can't feel anything that's beyond corporeality because we don't have the qualities of being beyond corporeality, meaning beyond our will to receive, that is managing us in every moment and in everything. And therefore, there's nothing for us to do in life but to try, if we already want to, then, as the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us, to try and rise above our ego, and then we will start feeling what is a life that is free of our will to receive, in which we feel life, but what is a life that is above our life. But this is already for people that feel an inclination toward it and really think about themselves and are capable of it.
Yael, our feelings about death, do they determine our attitude toward life? The way in which a person relates to death, his attitude toward it, does determine the way he lives his life. Dr. Leitman, depends on the person, on the generation, on many factors. A person that lives an ordinary life that does not rise above his own nature, then he lives according to however nature controls him. And therefore, there's nothing special about it for him. It's simply, as it says, all are deemed as beasts. The very same way he is controlled by his desires, this is how he lives his life. There's nothing that he's responsible for, and therefore he doesn't have a reward or punishment, but he's controlled by the forces of nature. None of the ordinary people have something that they're responsible for, but their nature controls them, and nature is responsible. Only those people that rise above their corporeal, animate nature, that they have a screen by which they can control themselves. Yeah, what is a screen? Dr. Leitman, the ability to resist the egoistic force that controls us, and then by that force that a person receives, to that measure he can also become responsible for his actions, for better and for worse. But an ordinary person is like a baby. He develops more and more and more, but he remains in the same form of nature that controls him, and therefore he has no responsibility over his actions in relation to the general force, in relation to his life. This is how he was born. This is how he develops. This is how he lives and dies. And therefore, no one demands any account from him. And therefore, to talk about heaven or hell, in regard to that man, it doesn't exist. What did he do? Nothing, all in all. Yeah, what do you mean he did nothing? Dr. Leitman, what did he do in his life if he was controlled by his desire, by a force that comes to him from nature? Then nothing. He isn't responsible for anything. Yael, it's in complete paradox to what I heard you say on one of our other shows, that a person is all the time looking for control, to be in control of his life. He's afraid of dying in order for that ability not to end. And you're presenting reality as though a person isn't in control of anything. Dr. Leitman, of course he isn't. He isn't even aware of the fact that nature is controlling him, and it's not him. How can I then... You're a psychologist, you can say. What can we demand of a person eventually? He's a result of how he was born, of the nature that he was born with, of the environment that he developed, grew up in, lives in. He's a result of all of these systems. And therefore, we can suppose, say about him, that if I scan him with x-rays, suppose, I can say, this comes from that, this is a result of this, and so on. But he himself, he has nothing. How could it be that he has something of his own that comes from him? Yeah, okay, so you're saying that a person is controlled by something external, Dr. Leitman, and internal, yet a force that operates him from the inside, from the outside, and there he has no responsibility for his behavior in life. And for him to have this responsibility, he has to receive a force, Dr. Leitman, called a screen, Yael, that allows him, Dr. Leitman, to be independent, above nature. Yael, I want to go back to that place of fear of death and dealing with it. In general, there are two ways to deal with death. One way is to do it intellectually. This is how Irvin Yalom called it. He's a psychiatrist and an author. And the other way, he called it religion or illusion. These are the two ways that He thinks that these are the two possible ways to deal with death. What do you think? Dr. Leitman, what do you mean by to deal with death? Yeah, because a person feels afraid of death. Dr. Leitman, fear. So take some drug and that's it. Why deal with it? I can invent a pill that I take, and then I don't think about it. It doesn't bother me till the very last moment. Yeah, would it be the right thing to do? Dr. Leitman, that's something else, but it's possible. Yeah, okay, is it the right way to live life? Dr. Leitman, depends what we do with a person. I actually think that it's not. I actually think that all of those sufferings that a person goes through, even at the moment of death, are worthwhile for him, because by that he pays for his free choice. Owen, I want to ask about consciousness. If we could start building in a person, in the public, the correct attitude toward death, what should be the direction? Because we can avoid talking about death. We can act as if it doesn't exist. But if we'd like to build the correct attitude toward death in the public, should we teach people what the correct attitude toward death is? Dr. Leitman. It's not simple. First of all, don't put an obstacle before a blind person, meaning if you want to bring the public or even to a certain individual the knowledge of something, you have to understand to what measure will it help his existence, help him correctly behave in his society, and then that way you can already talk about the correct behavior toward him. And not that you start telling him about life and death, giving him such knowledge that he won't be able to deal with. And therefore the wisdom of Kabbalah is a hidden wisdom that is revealed very cautiously, gradually, only to those people that can work with what they get from there, with the information that they get from there correctly. And what we're disseminating is only about the ability to come closer to this knowledge. And to the measure to which you acquire a screen and all these things that we learn about in the wisdom of Kabbalah, then you really acquire the knowledge and you become acquainted with the hidden forces of nature. Oh, okay, I understand. So according to the general state that humanity is in the 21st century, what do you think that people should know today about death? In general, according to the level of our development in the 21st century. Dr. Leitman, what it knows? Yael, and for people that are watching you now on TV that are a bit more open to hearing, Dr. Leitman, no, I wouldn't tell them more. I reveal what's good for a person in order for them to develop. And I don't come to a person in order to give him some kind of sedative. Because by not having a sedative, this will push him to reveal the truth and to really overcome all of these concepts, including the concept of death. Owen, what do you mean to overcome the concept of death, Dr. Leitman? That he will live with it in a way that he'll have no transition at all between this world and the next world. As it says, you shall see your world in your lifetime, meaning that he will be able to come to know the general mechanism of nature in a way that it's all spread in front of him. Oh, and this acquaintance with the general mechanism of nature, what does it give a person? You said that everything's spread before him. Dr. Leitman, he connects to a life that is above death. Oh, and what does he need for it? Dr. Leitman, he has to acquire the quality of bestow.
Owen, what is that?
Dr. Layton, the quality of bestowal is that he comes out of his will to receive, that currently he feels everything inside of his will to receive and comes closer to the desire to bestow. Owen, explain, please.
Dr. Layton, how can I explain if there's no feeling of it?
Yale, what does it mean to come closer to the will to bestow?
Dr. Layton, to rise above his ego. To rise above, it means that I'm less and less taking into consideration who and what I am and what I feel and my life, but I feel more and live more in what's outside of me. And by experiencing, living in that which is outside of me, I start feeling what's outside of this world, that I depict this world inside of my ego, but then I start feeling the world that is beyond my ego. And this way, I come out of my egoistic desire, in which I was born and that I live in which I depict myself in this world, into another altruistic desire, a desire of bestowal and love of others. And in that, I pass away, so to speak, but I pass away from my ego. I get rid of it. I get rid of experiencing this narrow, false world, and I connect to the eternal, whole and complete world. And this is independent of my life and death.
What does it depend on, then, asks Owen.
Dr. Lightman, all the more, as long as I'm living inside my ego, I can prepare myself to start perceiving reality above my ego.
Oh, and this entire process you just talked about, is it something that a person goes through consciously in his lifetime? Or is this after death? Where is this? Where does this process happen? When?
Dr. Lightman,
it's supposed to happen here in a person's life in this world.
Owen, and the essence of this process is what?
It's a transition from state to state.
Dr. Layton, yes, from in order to receive to in order to bestow.
From being in the egoistic desire of everything for myself to an altruistic desire of everything for others. And through this new inclination, where everything is to the benefit of others, a person reaches a state where he disconnects from the feeling of this world that he depicts only in his ego, in his egoistic desire, and starts revealing in a new inclination that's altruistic outside of him, the new world. And for this, you don't have to die. For this, you have to put the will to receive to death, the will to receive that we exist in now. But it's not that our biological body has to die. It has nothing to do with it. It's only our consciousness, our awareness, that's an egoistic consciousness. And to change it for an altruistic consciousness is something that you can do without our protein body needing to die.
Yael, and when you say that still there is some kind of a process in our life,
there is a process of death and a new life.
Meaning, what happens to a person who dies and still did not get rid of his egoistic desire, his will to receive, and he dies? What happens to him? What's supposed to happen?
Yeah, I don't know.
Dr. Layton, I don't see anything in it.
Yeah, and what happens in the process that you talked about?
You talked about the death of the ego, right?
That the will to receive actually dies
at that point.
Once the will to receive dies, what comes alive? Dr. Leitman, once my will to receive dies, I start feeling in the will to bestow a new reality. Because our entire reality is depicted either in the will to receive or in the will to bestow, depending on where I am. Yet, what changes in a person's attitude toward life and death at that point? Dr. Leitman, that I cease to feel reality in my egoistic will to receive the way we feel it now, and I start depicting a different reality in the inclination in order to bestow. Yeah. Is there a fear of death in this process? Dr. Leitman, no. There is a different calculation to acquire more and more of the will to bestow in order to be able to bestow more and more and become like the upper force. Yael, that a person hides death from himself, that he doesn't attribute it to himself, but he lives as though he's never going to die. Is there some kind of reference to this from that point of bestowal? Dr. Leitman, there's only a reference to the measure to which I can bestow. Yael, does it have to do something with a person's physical life and death? Dr. Leitman, no. Yael, so this is something that stops interesting a person. He doesn't think about it. Dr. Leitman, no, incorrect, because by acquiring the desire to bestow now, he can do much more, many more actions in this world in order to bestow. Also in this world, through all those around him. Oren, according to your point of view, I understand that the purpose of a person's existence is to develop a new altruistic desire, the will to bestow, and if he can go through this process, then by that he what? He rises above the concept of end, death. Dr. Leitman, yes? Oren, so what is that desire to bestow that a person has to acquire? Dr. Leitman, that I live in others. Yeah, we're reaching the end of our show, and Dr. Leitman, this is the formula of how to exit death, avoid death. A formula of how to avoid death, bypass it, keep on living if you're in others. Oren, Dr. Leitman, amazing. Thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
How does natural egoism differ from human egoism? Question: how does natural egoism differ from human egoism? Answer: human egoism is natural. We have nothing of ourselves. We are set in motion by nature, and there are no other qualities, feelings, actions, or forces in us. The only problem is how we manage them. Question: so egoism is a natural phenomenon, therefore, we can't talk about destroying it. But how do we use it correctly? Answer: build above egoism, in contrast to it, the quality of bestowal and love. From CAB TV's The Post-Coronavirus Era, April 30, 2020. The only value in life. Question: what are the real values in life? And who will confirm their validity? Answer: the only value that exists in our life is merging with the eternal, perfect nature. And we can acquire it. Nothing else is needed. You gain eternity, perfection, in merging with the eternal, perfect nature. That's it. I wish for you to begin attaining and feeling this. We will reach this level anyway. But why calm down if you can do it sooner? I wish you good luck in this. From CAB TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, May 17, 2020.